Coming to you from the home of the Frango Mint, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that always wears galoshes when it rains. And now, he once came second in a Doug Jones look-alike contest. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, good morning or good afternoon or good evening, whichever it is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. That's the trouble with podcasting. We don't know when you're listening. You could be up in the middle of the night pacing the floor, listening, taking notes, and committing to memory all the excellent factual information about Medicare that you're likely to hear when you listen to this Medicare podcast. And where does that information come from? It comes from the book Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022. It is in Amazon and in Barnes and Noble, just waiting for you to pick it up. It's in all kinds of various permutations. You can have hardcover, you can have softcover, you can have ebook, you can have audible book. You can just listen to me read the book to you, if that's the way you'd like to absorb your knowledge. But I am here to help people feel good about that Medicare transition that everybody in the United States faces at one time or another. And if there are questions, and there almost always are, I am available and encourage you to bring them to me via email, and I will help you with the transition, help you get the Medicare coverage, the insurance coverage that you need to fill those holes and gaps in Medicare. And I will send you off on your way into the land of Medicare with a smile on your face. At least that's my goal. Pretty much that's the way it works out with all of my many clients. So if you'd like help with Medicare, then by all means, give me a shout electronically is the easiest way. Send me an email. Let me know what your situation is. Here's the way I would do it. Go to MedicareForTheLazyMan.com and scroll down a little bit on the landing page, and you'll find a couple of buttons. One offers you the opportunity to get a Medicare quote, and it's a questionnaire that takes you about 3 minutes to fill out, and everything on the questionnaire is stuff that you know off the top of your head. And then when you click send, it will come to me securely. No prying eyes will ever be able to see what you have submitted to me from the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. There's another yellow button there that says apply. And all that is a lengthier questionnaire with even more details that I will eventually be asking you if you want me to help you fill out an insurance application. And it is more personal information, more lengthy, but it's equally secure. It allows you to send that information to me without the possibility of intrusion by any prying eyes once again. So that's the whole point of our work here at Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And when I say our work here, I'm including my friend Randy Carson, who is busy trying to create a sound that is pleasing to the ear. He's the podcast engineer. He's twiddling knobs and sliding slides and just working his magic over there. Hello, Randy. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Doug. You're looking particularly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today.
Boy, that sounds weird. Sounds like there's something wrong with that. That I can't figure out if it's the bright-eyed part or the bushy-tailed part I should be worried about.
Well, you're looking good. You're looking in the peak of health, and you look like you're having a good day.
Well, thank you, sir. How can you not have a good day in Arizona in May? I mean, it's a fantastic place to live, and I couldn't be happier. The worst job in the world in Arizona is being outside manufacturing vitamin D.
It's almost
an involuntary process, but somebody's got to do it, and I'm volunteering for it.
Well, that and other times of the year, probably a little earlier, but I always just, you know, jab my friends back in the Midwest just a little bit. You know, they'll say, hey, how's things going out there in Arizona? I go, man, Bill, you wouldn't believe what happened the other day. And they say, what? No, I had to get up early and scooped sunshine off my driveway before it froze.
Oh, boy. Well, I have the same fun conversations occasionally. I was talking to a friend of mine in Illinois not long ago, less than a week ago. And I said, so how's your weather been? Because I had heard from other people that it was not that nice. And this guy was almost suicidal. He said, I've lived in Illinois for years and I've never, ever had a problem with it until this year. He said, this year is the worst. We had an 80 degree day and I got my mind right. I thought, okay, summer is here. And he said, and then it went, all went to pot just the next day. And it was down in the 30s and it was rainy, flurrying, you know, possibly making the roads icy and slippery. And this is in May, for Christ's sake. So I don't understand how the weather can do that, but I do see the human victims of the weather gods and how they're changing weather patterns in the north affect people's psyches.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'd never had any thought in my mind about wanting to be a meteorologist. Mm-hmm. But after I got out here and have been living in Arizona for pretty close to 20, well, over 20 years now, I'm thinking, I missed my calling. I think I could be a great meteorologist. They go, hey, Randy, what's the weather like today? Sunny.
Yep. Yep.
What's it going to be like tomorrow? What's like tomorrow? Sunny.
Yeah. Yep. Once in a while, there's a cloud that comes over and you have to be able to kind of tell them, hey, that see the sun not being there? Well, that's a cloud. That's what that's called.
It's interesting that you brought that up because I've actually been standing outside and watched, you know, some sort of a shadow cross over my head. And I'll look up, what was that? Oh, that was what they call a cloud.
Right. Well, the weird thing about the weather here, and you've been here so long, you know all about this, but they always say that monsoon's coming. But the start of monsoon every summer is apparently a mathematical computation based on the dew point and a bunch of other stuff that I don't really understand.
Oh, it is. I couldn't explain it to you. But back in the day, they used to say, hey, monsoon's coming. Now they can't officially say monsoon's here until it matches all this mathematical formula. Mm. The weather man has to dance around his desk with a dead chicken. And there's all kinds of stuff.
Does he throw bones on the floor and then
he throws bones on the floor? And I mean, now they say monsoon is coming tomorrow.
Yeah,
right. Okay, I'll get up tomorrow and see what happens. I don't think monsoon's paying any attention to you, buddy.
Well, they say the statistics are the ones that are the items that indicate whether monsoon has arrived or not, but it doesn't really affect the weather until the weather decides to be affected.
And
for those of us who are not Arizonans, the monsoon, the big difference is when it's not monsoon, the weather comes from California. So it comes from the Pacific Ocean across California, climbs over the mountains, drops most of its moisture, which is why Arizona is so dry. And then it comes across Arizona. When monsoon is here in the middle of summer, then it comes from the south, from the Sea of Cortez. And apparently it doesn't get cool. It doesn't drop as much of its moisture because there are no big mountains between us and the Sea of Cortez for the air to go over. And that's about all I know about it, really.
Well, that's twice as much as I know about it, because until I moved out here, I kid you not, I was working one day in the office and somebody goes, yeah, it's coming up on monsoon season. I'm going, say what?
Yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? Yeah, there's a whole bunch. And I go, so now I've had to explain this to people back in the Midwest. What is monsoon? Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Oh, yeah, it's, the sea rises up over. No, it's not that kind of a monsoon. People.
They'll believe anything you tell them. They'll believe anything. My favorite part of the onset of monsoon is when all of the network, the broadcast TV stations have a half hour special telling you about the dangers of monsoon.
Yeah.
And I've just seen things like scorpions, how long they can live without food or water. I've seen demonstrations of how you're supposed to leap from your car if you hit a phone pole and wires are draped across your car, and a bunch of other garbage like that. I almost said crapola, but I reserved that term for Medicare that, Medicare.
That is plan. My special term for Part C of called for Medicare Advantage, but it's actually, folks, read my lips, crapola. That's what Part C stands for.
Right.
Well, okay, I think we better get off on some Medicare. I've got a whole bunch of other things I could gripe about, but I'm going to let you take off on the Medicare stuff today.
Let me do that.
Good luck.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. I know you'll be here to help me out if I should fall flat on my face. 2020 Medicare Current Beneficiary Survey. It says it's an early look, so maybe it's a shortened version of what might or might not be an interesting survey that was done. This was done in April of 2022. It's when it was published, but they look back to 2020. So the introduction is using preliminary data from the 2020 Medicare survey file. Medicare Current Beneficiary Survey. The early look represents a demographic portrait of the Medicare population living in the community. Now, I'm sick of that word community. I swear, I don't live in a community. I live in Cave Creek. I live in a town. I live in a neighborhood. I live in a development. I don't live in a community because I don't live with a bunch of other people that are identical to me. So anyway, it also provides preliminary estimates pertaining to selected health status and functioning, access to care, and satisfaction with care measures. The majority of Medicare beneficiaries living in the community are white, non-Hispanic, between 65 and 84 years of age, and live in English-speaking households. I think I could have told them all that. If you want to talk about the population of the United States, I believe the general population of the United States is predominantly white and non-Hispanic. From my recollection, blacks constitute something on the order of 12 or 13% of the population, and Hispanics constitute something like 17% of the population, and almost everybody else is white, I believe. So, but that's just Doug talking here. Over three quarters of the Medicare beneficiaries living in the community report good, very good, or excellent health. Three quarters of the people have good to excellent health. Approximately 81% report the same or better health compared to 1 year ago. Almost half of beneficiaries, those are Medicare participants, ladies and gentlemen, almost half of Medicare people living in the community report at least one disability. Around one quarter report difficulties with walking or climbing stairs. Well, you know, I have difficulties walking or climbing stairs in that if there's an elevator or an escalator, that's going to be my choice. But, you know, maybe that's not what a health fanatic would tell me to do. Most Medicare beneficiaries living in the community report no trouble or delays in accessing healthcare and are satisfied with healthcare quality, ease of access, and cost. So then it says, what's new? Well, the 2020 early look at the Medicare beneficiary survey features breakouts by age for under 65 and over 65. While not featured in this document, the file release will include one new segment containing COVID-19 rapid response survey data collected in the winter of 2021. In response to the COVID-19 panic, this document implemented three rapid response surveys collecting information. That's not that interesting. In addition to providing definitions of key terms, this section describes the construction of analytic variables. Access to care refers to the indicators of having access to care. Okay, that's self-explanatory. Beneficiary this is deteriorating into something completely unworthy of my effort to share important knowledge with the podcast audience. So let me see what else we might be talking about here. Satisfaction with care. Questions about satisfaction with care represent the respondents' general opinion of all medical care received in the past year preceding the interview. General care refers to rating of the overall quality of care. Ease of access refers to the rating of the ease and convenience of getting to a doctor or other health professional. Cost refers to the rating of out-of-pocket costs the beneficiary paid for medical care. Yeah, I don't know. I'd say the summary of this is that the Medicare benefit provided to American citizens age 65 or over is probably working pretty well because they seem to be overall satisfied. Could improve. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But according to the early look at the Medicare beneficiary, current beneficiary survey, apparently there isn't a groundswell of discontent. So I believe that things are okay in the Medicare world. And I've got another article here. No surprises. Understand your rights against surprise medical bills. This is this was published on January 3rd of 2022. So it's about 4 months old. Make that 5 months old. The No Surprises Act protects people covered under group and individual health plans from receiving surprise medical bills when they receive most emergency services, non-emergency services from out-of-network providers, and at in-network facilities and services from out-of-network air ambulance service providers. It also establishes an independent dispute resolution process for payment disputes between plans and providers. And it provides new dispute resolution opportunities for uninsured and self-pay individuals when they receive a medical bill that is substantially greater than the good faith estimate they get from the provider. Starting in 2022, there are new protections that prevent surprise medical bills. If you have private health insurance, these new protections ban the most common types of surprise bills. If you're uninsured, or you decide not to use your health insurance for a service under these protections, you can often get a good faith estimate of the cost of your care up front before you visit. If you disagree with your bill, you may be able to dispute the charges. Here's what you need to know about your new rights. What are surprise medical bills? Well, before the No Surprises Act, if you had health insurance and received care from an out-of-network provider or an out-of-network facility, even unknowingly, your health plan may not have covered the entire out-of-network cost. This could have left you with higher costs than if you had gotten care from an in-network provider or facility. In addition to any out-of-network cost sharing you might have owed, the out-of-network provider or facility could bill you for the difference between the billed charge and the amount your health plan paid, unless banned by state law. This is called balance billing. An unexpected balance bill from an out-of-network provider is also called a surprise medical bill. People with Medicare and Medicaid already enjoy these protections and are not at risk for surprise billing. I'm not so sure that's true in all cases, but we will forge ahead with this this particular article. What are the new protections if I have health insurance? Well, if you get health coverage through your employer, a health insurance marketplace, or an individual health insurance plan, you purchase directly from an insurance company, and these new rules will ban surprise bills for most emergency services, even if you get them out of network and without approval beforehand. That approval beforehand is also known as prior authorization. The new protections will ban out of network cost sharing, like out of network coinsurance or copayments for most emergency and some non-emergency services. You can't be charged more than in network cost sharing for these services. The new protections will ban out-of-network charges and balance bills for certain additional services like anesthesiology or radiology furnished by out-of-network providers as part of a patient's visit to an in-network facility. And the new protections also require that health insurance or healthcare providers and facilities give you an easy-to-understand notice explaining the applicable billing protections, who to contact if you have gripes that a provider or facility has violated the protections, and that patient consent is required to waive billing protections. You must receive a notice and consent to being balance billed by an out-of-network provider. What if I don't have health insurance or choose to pay for care on my own without using my health insurance? It says if you don't have health insurance or you self-pay for care, in most cases, these new rules will make sure that you can get a good faith estimate of how much your care will cost before you receive it. Well, what if I'm charged more than my good faith estimate? For services provided in 2022, you can dispute a medical bill if your final charges are at least $400 higher than your good faith estimate, and if you file your disputed claim within 120 days of the date on your bill. What if I do not have insurance from an employer, a marketplace, or an individual plan? Do these new protections apply to me? The answer is some health insurance coverage programs already have protections against surprise medical bills. If you have coverage through Medicare, Medicaid, or TRICARE, or receive care through the Randy's bumping his head against the screen. I think he wants me to stop, but it's nonverbal communication, and I'm a verbal kind of guy. So if you have coverage through Medicare, Medicaid, or TRICARE, or receive care through the Indian Health Services or Veterans Health Administration, you don't need to worry because you're already protected against surprise medical bills from providers and facilities that participate in these programs. What if my state has a surprise billing law? The No Surprises Act supplements state surprise billing laws. It does not supplant them. The No Surprises Act instead creates a floor for consumer protections. And yada, yada, yada. So basically, they're telling you that if you've got regular insurance, you've got this new protection against no surprises. And what is the typical way that you're going to be surprised by a bill? Well, if you try to stay in your network of doctors and hospitals for treatment, then fail at some point because the hospital that you get treated in has some people that are not part of your network. Like, let's say that you've got a surgeon who is in the network, but let's say the anesthesiologist is not in your network, then the danger is that the anesthesiologist's charge is going to be higher. Your insurance will not cover that charge, so you're going to wind up paying out of your pocket for that higher charge. So the theory is that this No Surprises Act is going to protect you from that possibility. And I believe what it's really going to do is remove the benefit that people get from being in networks, or at least reduce that benefit. Why do networks exist? Well, they exist because long ago, you could go anywhere and pay the going rate for this doctor or that doctor. But when your insurance company devised a way to save you money by having, let's say, a PPO plan, your employer said, hey, I'm going to offer my employees a PPO plan. This would have been in the 1980s. The first time that this was trotted out. And HMOs, kind of the same thing. They showed up in the 70s in many areas. But basically, they said, if you go to the doctors on this list of doctors or on to the hospitals on this list of hospitals, you will be in network and we will give you a discount because we've cut a deal to the side. What's that deal? Well, the doctor says, I want a bunch of patients, so I'm willing to accept less money for each patient, if you, the insurance company, will deliver more patients to me. And so I'll join your network. And that's the way the networks arose. So when you go to a network provider, network hospital or doctor, then you're going to have a cheaper experience than if you had the same treatment within a non-network because they don't have a deal that authorizes them to save money and pass the savings on to you. So that's the whole thing about this no surprise thing. They're removing the financial benefit of the network. Now, I'm not a huge fan of networks. PPOs at least are voluntary. HMOs are mandatory. And I have always liked indemnity, which means you can go wherever you want to go and you cut your own deal with that provider or that hospital. And you will then either pay more or less, but you'll pay the going rate for those people. So it's taking away the benefit, the discount that being an in-network participant would offer you typically. So I don't know if this no surprises thing is going to catch on, but people are pretty creative. I mean, they were very creative when creating the whole idea of networks in the first place and offering discounts and having a cheaper insurance product. So I'm thinking that this won't be a lasting deterrent to the network concept. So that's my pontification on networks, Randy. I'm hoping it was clear.
That's your story and you're sticking to it. Huh?
I'm sticking to it for the time being till somebody tells me not to.
All right. Well, we are out of time.
Why am I not surprised?
That was a great session. I thoroughly enjoy them all because I learned so much. Whenever I think I'm getting really caught up on Medicare and supplemental plans and Part C, which stands for crap, you know, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Doug always trots out something I never thought about.
Yeah, I'm getting to the bottom of the garbage can, so it may be we're going to start rehashing old stuff. But you know something, there's a reason that that's not a bad thing, and that's because there's always a new bunch of people turning 65.
There absolutely is. So I think we covered most of this stuff, but I'm going to cover it one more time just to, you know, for good measure. Send Doug an email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com and tell him about the Green Dragon Inn experience that you had in Boston. Go to amazon.com, get yourself a paperback version of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com 2022, and the color is green.
That's right.
And you can also get audio, you can get Kindle, you can get just about any possible way to read or listen to a book that we've ever, that we've really ever thought of, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure somebody's working on a fifth way to do it, but
yeah,
haven't seen it yet.
I know. Well, anyway, thank you all for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. Next time, I left probably a hanging chad here. We'll talk about why Prince Andrew is thinking about moving to the United States like Prince Harry.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
I mean, this will be like months and months of grist for the grist mill.
That might be a longer than average episode.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Cave Creek, Arizona right now, but originally Oklahoma. He is hanging out in his fortress of solitude, watching over Cave Creek to make sure that nothing bad happens in the way of Medicare.
Bye-bye.